Psalm 31, verses 14 through to verse 15. God's word says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing for his own name's sake. We'll look to God now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank thee that thou wilt bless thy people for thine own name's sake. Therefore, Lord, we pray, even just now, for conscious of thy presence. We pray, O God, that we will know the help of the Lord. We pray, O God, you'll be pleased to draw alongside and help us in the preaching of the word. It is our desire that even in the, after this service, that we will be able to say it was good to have been here, for here we met afresh with thee. Lord, lead us up now to higher ground. We pray, O God, as well, if there be any that are backslidden, cold in heart, O Lord, draw them to thyself. And Father, we pray, if there be any outside of Christ without a Saviour, O God, we ask of thee that thou will be pleased even this day to redeem them by thine almighty hand. Lord, thou art the God of salvation. We can't create an anxious thought. Therefore, Lord, we pray in the reviving of thy people and the redemption of sinners. O Lord, we give it all to thee, and we pray, build thy church for thine own glory and thy name's sake. For we ask these things in his name. Amen. Psalm 31 was written by David, but like other psalms, and as the psalm we looked at this morning, there is no clear time period mentioned. There are many who have their own thoughts regarding this psalm, as they do with all the psalms that maybe don't have a clear background identified. Some point to three specific occasions in David's life where this psalm could be applied to, whether Saul hunting him down, or his son Absalom in rebellion, or when Ahithophel, his counsellor, betrayed him. And there may be some who have their own. But what we can say when we read these psalms are psalms that have no clear background identified to them. We can look through the psalm and see what David says about a particular thought. For instance, verse 9, David prayed, "I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." And the word in the Hebrew for the word troubled, when David said, "I am in trouble," that is the word that means distress. It is the word that means affliction. It is the word that signifies when you are in a tight space, when your back is against the wall. You cannot escape. You feel there is no way out. It is a tight situation. And so when we read that meaning with that word in the psalm, David is in a time of trouble. Whatever he is experiencing, he feels his back is against the wall and it seems to be no way out for David. Maybe this seems to be the end. Maybe this seems to be that his enemies will finally triumph over him. He said in verse 12, "I am forgotten. I am like a broken vessel." Again, as we learned this morning, David said there in verse 9, mine eye is consumed with grief. And in the original Hebrew, that word or that phrase, mine eye is consumed with grief, reads, "I am wasting away with grief." And so whatever background can be ascribed to the psalm, one thing we are sure, David is in trouble. His back is against the wall. He lives under the threat that his enemies are seeking to accomplish their wicked purposes. And as I said, it seemed in this situation, compared to other times, that David thought for a second, maybe they will actually have their day. Because he said in verse 13, they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. And so David, he knows his enemies. They have all these plans, how they can get David, how they can end his life. This one who they have been pursuing after. Now's the time. We've got him. And so David says, they've devised to take away my life. But yet, what is amazing about this is David survived all the evil plans of his enemy. Because there was one above the plans of man. There was one above all the ambitions and tactics of man. And that is the Lord. That is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the eternal God of heaven. And so David turns round and he gets his mind back to where it needs to be, back focused on the Lord, and says these words in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. He knows that God's infallible wisdom defeats the limited wisdom of men. For God's ways, his plans, and his thoughts are higher than men's. God's way is perfect. And there are times that the Lord allows his people to be in tight situations. There are times that the Lord allows his people to be in such an occasion when their back is against the wall, when it is a day of trouble, because that's the day when we see the greatness of God. That's the day when we acknowledge, Lord, here's what looks like it's about to happen, but I know my times are in your hand and you have the last say, the only say. The Lord said, or the psalmist said again in Psalm, I believe, 50, call upon me, the Lord says through the psalmist, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. And the word in that Psalm 50, again, for the word trouble, it's the same word. Call upon me when your back is against the wall. Call upon me in the day of trouble, in the day of distress, in the day of affliction. Call upon me when you see there is no way out. And I will deliver thee. I will pluck you out. I will intervene. And so David says, at this time, my times are in thy hand. Lord, the enemy, they're devising to take away my life. They've got their plans all in place. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. But you, my times are in thy hand. See, David understood that nothing takes place in his life or in our lives without the Lord's permission. The affairs of all mankind are under his control, and all he does is always for his own glory and honor and for the good of his people. I say that because this year, 2021 certainly was a challenging year. And I have no doubt that now in 2022, there will still be many more challenges that lay ahead. There will be anxious times. There will be plans that we will make, days and dates that we will set, that they will be interrupted, that they will have to be changed or postponed or whatever you want to play or say. There may be things that you have in your mind that you plan to be at a certain place, at a certain time, at a certain location, and it may not work out that way, the way we want it. But learn in those times Our times are in the hand of God, and he will have you where he wants you to be. And if it's not where you want to be, note, it's because he is protecting you from something. He's keeping you from something in order to bless you with something else. I've no doubt this year will be as it was parts of last year. Grief, tears, sorrow, sickness, death for many. As this coronavirus has left its mark in the last 2 years and even continues to do even now. And I understand also that not everybody has been afflicted with this virus. But it's true to say that all of us at some point have been impacted by it. However, with those that have been inflicted with this virus, whatever variant you want to use, as there are many going around, some have displayed mild symptoms and they have recovered quickly. Some have suffered severe symptoms, believing it would lead to their death. But they recovered after long periods in hospital. And you've seen that on the news or the newspaper. People have been in hospital for months and then they have been brought out. Others, over the many, many thousands in the UK alone, the coronavirus has been the means of their death. So questions are often asked, why did I not get the coronavirus? Or why did I get the coronavirus? Or why did I not die from the coronavirus when I believed I would have? Or why did others die from it when it seemed they were healthy or they were making a recovery? And maybe you know someone in that situation. They've contracted the virus and they've died, or they were healthy, and whatever situation it may be. And all these questions are asked. Let's put it to a biblical point of view. Why did David experience trouble and escape death when at a time it seemed death was facing him? To David, it seemed this was his last day. It seemed that his enemies are going to fulfill their purpose. Yet David escaped. The Lord made a way out because David acknowledged, my times are in thy hands. And these words apply to us all, young, old, rich, poor, saved and lost. Our times are in God's hand. And so with that thought in mind, notice three simple thoughts. First of all, David's course. The word times, when David said, my times are in thy hand, the word times means seasons. It refers to events. It covers all the periods of David's life throughout the course of his life. My times, my course, my days, my life, whatever you want to say, it is in God's hand. Not just one wee single event. Rather, every single event in my life, from the time of conception right to the time of death, everything in my life is in the hand of God. A full range of circumstances and events. These times, these events, these days, they include good times and bad times, sickness and health, happy times and sorrowful times. When life is given by the Lord and life is taken away by the Lord. But it is all, blessed be the name of the Lord. All the events, all the times in our life are under the hand of God, because he arranges and he appoints everything according to his own divine will. There's nothing in your life that God does not know about. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, or in the next week, or at the end of the year, but God knows everything. because he has so ordered it and so devised it. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. And again, he gives a list, but let me just say this. In that list, he says, a time to be born and a time to die. And so we learn that when David says, my times are in thy hand, that includes the time from conception right to the time of his death. Even for those who have children. And all these different things, you know, today you go and you get these scans and whether people want to know if they're having a boy or a girl or whatever it may be. But the point is, you go and you may ask the doctor, and the doctor says, well, depends what way the baby is and different things, and I'm not able to see, will you have to wait? Or there's some who just wait till the 9 months, and whatever is born, well, they bless God for a young boy or a young girl. But right from the moment of conception, the Lord already knows. Nothing is hid from him. And so David's course, every single thing is under the divine control of God. From the smallest detail of your life, my life, to the biggest, everything is under God's control. Again, David said in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, there is a step between me and death. There is a step between me and death. And while I don't know when that last step will be taken, but God knows, just as he appointed, reserved the day that I would come into this world, so he knows the day that I will leave this world, because he has ordained it. There is appointed unto man once to die. That's reserved, appointed, set time in God's calendar. And so whatever course the Lord will lead us in this year, note our times, our events, all that will take place is in the hand of God. He will lead. He will guide. Job said in Job 23, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. Now that was Job. After Job had suffered. After Job had lost his family. After Job's house was destroyed. After Job had one trial after another. After another. After one battle. After another. Yet Job could say, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He will purify me through this situation. He will draw me closer to him. I will be the better for it. Charles Spurgeon used to say, whatever causes me to pray is a blessing. Or whatever affliction causes me to pray is a blessing. And so we learn David could say, my times are in God's hand. Here's the course of his life. Everything in his life is under the hand and control of God. There's no mistake. There's no accident with God. Everything is planned. And therefore, we see this highlighted, don't we, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his times were in the hand of God. Right from his birth to his death, every event in the life of Christ was so ordered and arranged by God. Why? To fulfill his purposes of redemption. And he carried out his eternal, his infinite and unchanging decree. All his plans and purposes were all put in place for the glory of God, for the saving of sinners. That Psalm 135, verse 6 said, whatsoever the Lord pleased that he did in the heaven and in the earth and in the seas and in deep places. You see, the time, the place, the offense, surrounding Christ's birth and the time, the place and events surrounding Christ's death and also his return. They're all under the hand of God. The sorrows he experienced at the death of Lazarus, when he wept, when he was betrayed, when he was tempted, when he was alone in the wilderness, when he was forsaken, was all in the plan of God. The times he was filled, the times he was persecuted, the times he was, his enemies came against him. It was all under the hand of God. Why? Because as our great high priest, as our Savior, he has gone before us. He suffered more than any other man. He teaches us that he knows all that we are going through. Our times, my times, your times, are under the hand of God, because everything in our life God is always doing to bring about his own redemptive purposes. God does not do anything on a whim or by mistake or by chance. Everything is ordered and arranged to fulfill his plan of redemption and to the glory of his own name. Therefore, in this psalm, God receives the glory. David is brought to realize my course right now, it's all under the hand of God. And therefore, men and women, learn that the course that you will pass this year, the path that lays ahead, it is all under the Lord's divine decree. But notice also David's confidence, because when you read the life of David, and as I said at the start, the background of the psalm, and there's many different types of backgrounds that you could apply to the psalm, it is clear that David's life is in danger. But yet he could say in verses 14 to 15, "Thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." And again, persecution comes in many forms. And so David is being persecuted. And though at times it seems like our times are in the hands of others, maybe in the hands of our enemies, maybe if you're sick, you think your hands are in, your life is in the hands of the doctors, but ultimately, our hands are, our times are in God's hand. David thought for a second, or it was seemed by the way things were working out, that David's times were in the hands of his enemies. Even his enemies thought that there. Again, remember in 1 Samuel 23, verse 7, Saul said this, "God hath delivered him," that's David, "into my hand. For he is shut in by entering into a town and hath gates and bars." So Saul saw David shut in trouble, no escape. I have got David where I wanted him. He is now in my hand. I am going to determine what happens to David. And so verse 14, 1 Samuel 23, Saul sought him, that's David, every day. Saul sought him. But then we read after, "But God delivered him not into his hand." And so we learn, if it was God's will for David to die at the time, if it was God's will for David to die at that time by the hand of his enemies, David would have died. Nothing could have stopped the plan of God being carried out. However, if it was not David's appointed time to die by the hand of his enemies, again, nothing could stop the purpose of God being carried out. And therefore, we must grasp that. Our times, it is in the hand of God, not in our own hands, not in the hands of others, not in the hands of doctors, why we thank God for the gifts and talents that he's given them. Our hands are not even in the, our times are not even in the hands of Satan. Rather, our times are in the hand of God. And therefore, David, as he prays, he knows that he has confidence that all that will come about in his life is all planned by God. If this is the way the Lord would have me to go, then blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, we learn during the life of Christ, Joseph was told in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, to take the young child. Why? Because Herod will seek the child, that's Christ, will seek him to destroy him. We learn as well in John 7, verse 1, the Jews, they sought to kill him. Again, John 8, verse 37, but ye seek to kill me, the Lord said, because my word hath no place in you. And so here are the Lord's enemies. They are pursuing him. They want to strike at him. They want to kill him. John 7, verse 30, then they sought to take him. Here's their time to make their move. They sought to take him. They sought to pounce on him. They sought, now's the occasion. But no man laid hands on him. Why? Scripture says, because his hour was not yet come. Matthew 26, verse 45, the Lord said, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. You see, there was a time for him to be born, a time for him to be betrayed, a time for him to be offered up. Everything was ordered and planned by God. Again, Acts 2, verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So at the time, his enemies, in their own time, they thought, now we're going to get him. But they could not, because his time had not come. But when it was his time to be offered up, then God did not spare him, but God delivered him up to be that offering for sin. The Lord said himself, no man can take my life. It is he is the one who lays down his life. No one could stop the redeeming purposes of God. Why? Because all the enemies of Christ, they tried to kill him without going to the cross. They tried to kill him without paying the penalty of sin. They tried to kill him without shedding his precious blood upon Calvary. And had they have done that, then they could have said there is no Savior, no redemption. But it was planned by God that Christ would go to the cross to be that curse for sinners, to be made sin for us, to offer himself to God without spot, without blemish. He had to die the cross to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to pay the penalty of sin, to bear the shame of the cross, to satisfy divine justice. And therefore, here is David's confidence. His entire life is in the hand of God. And that ought to be our confidence as well, that my times are in God's hand. My season, all that will happen to me, people around me, it is in God's hands. Therefore, child of God, I say to you this year, no doubt it will be a year where we'll be tested. You will be tested individually. Your family will be tested. Things, as we said, in our estimation, may not just go the way will be planned. And we will think that all is despair. But we come back and we say, Lord, my times are in your hand. And therefore, you have a purpose for this. And pray for grace that the Lord will teach you, and the Lord will guide you, and the Lord will bring you through it. Finally and briefly, David's comfort. As David is surrounded by his enemies, and they devise to take away his life, and he says these words, "Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." David thinks about the hand of his God. David thinks about who his God is. Again, we learn from John 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit. And so they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has no bodily parts. God is a spirit. He is infinite. And therefore, when we read the scripture about the hand of God or the eyes of God or whatever you want to term, the mouth of God, all these things, these are for our benefit, to teach us lessons. And we think, what are hands for? And what are feet for? And so these great lessons, the hand, it teaches us of power. It teaches us of God intervening. And so when David says, my times, the course of my life is in the hand of God. It's in God's power. It's in God's hand. It's in God's direction. Don't we use our hands to point somewhere, to lead somewhere, go that way or go that way, or to show someone, or to lift something up, to help someone up? And so God's hand will guide, God's hand will lead, God's hand will preserve, it will protect. And so David is saying, my times are in God's hand. What does Scripture say about God's hand? What does Scripture say about our times in God's hand? Well, there is comfort. I'll just give you these briefly and not really comment on them. I'll just give you a verse and the heading in closing. There is comfort in God's sovereign hand. Again, my times are in thy hand. Learn that God is sovereign. I want you to learn that in your life. God is sovereign. There's comfort in God's strong hand. Again, Psalm 89, verse 13. A psalm, that's a wonderful psalm, all to do with the everlasting covenant of grace. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Again, Exodus 13, verse 9. For with a strong hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And so there is God's strong hand, that strong hand that redeems, that strong hand that keeps. Again, Psalm 145. There's comfort in God's supplying hand. Psalm 145, verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God supplies for his people. Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. And so as our times are in his hand, where he leads, he will always provide. As one person said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And so we always learn that God's hand is a supplying hand. He keeps giving. He keeps supplying. In fact, when we come to Philippians, and it excites us, when Paul said to the church that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, which is in Christ Jesus. He supplies according to his riches. Let me illustrate it this way. You think of Christmas time there, maybe how, or when you're teaching boys and girls, you usually give them a wee box of sweets, or maybe you have a box of celebrations or heroes and all the rest. And you think of that illustration. You have the wee box of chocolates, you have chocolates in it. If you were to give out of that, so say you have your wee box here of celebrations, if I was to give out of that, and I kept giving to each person here, at some point, that would become empty.
It would become less and less and less because I'm giving out of one sweet for you, one sweet for you, one sweet for you. We're getting less. I'm giving you out of. But Paul didn't say he supplies our need out of. Paul said he supplies our need according to his riches. That means God is infinite. He's unbounding. He's unlimited. He's eternal. He's unchanging. Therefore, he gives as himself. His giving is eternal. His giving is infinite. His giving is unchanging. He gives as himself. He never runs out. He never runs dry. There's never a shortage with God. His hand is a supplying hand. And maybe you will need grace this year, as we all do every day. Grace for a particular trial. Grace to live. Grace to suffer in trials. Grace even to come to the end of our days. There's grace for every situation. As Paul said, God's grace is sufficient for thee. Again, it's continually sufficient. There's never a time. Let me say it like this. In this year 2022, there will never be a time when God's grace will not be sufficient for you. But whatever course he has you to go down, whatever time is in his hand for you, his hand will be that supplying hand for you, for all you need. Again, there's comfort not only in God's sovereign hand, strong hand, supplying hand. There's comfort in God's supporting hand. Psalm 18, verse 35, thy right hand hath holden me up. And the word holden means to support. Again, Psalm 63, verse 8, thy right hand upholdeth me. It's the same word, supports me. We're weak, we're feeble. We feel we can't go on, we can't get through this. It's a setback, it's a discouragement. Maybe someone breaks up with someone, whatever it may be. And we just feel we can't go on. We've got news that we weren't expecting. Something's happened, whatever it may be. God's hand will support us. God's hand will strengthen us. God's hand will cause us to go on. It means to lean upon. Just as you see when Saul in the Bible says he leaned upon his staff. You see today people, we'll not use that, but the point is people, we lean upon things. We rest upon things. And so the point is the Lord says with his supporting hand, you can rest upon me. I will support you through this. I will uphold you. But notice also God's saving hand. Psalm 60, verse 5. They that beloved, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. God's, the comfort of God's shepherding hand. Again, Psalm 78, verse 52 and 72. But made his people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. There, as the shepherd guiding the sheep, he leads the sheep. And so the Lord by his hand will shepherd you. He will guide you. We could go on, we could build on these a lot more, but time does not permit. There is God's successful hand. Psalm 98, verse 1, his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Therefore, God's hand is a victorious hand. There's nothing in your life that would ever cause one to say God has failed. We fail him, but he never fails us. And there is the comfort of God's securing hand. Because we see God has revealed himself in and through the name of his beloved Son. And we learn, don't we? Psalm 22, verse 16. They pierced, Christ said, they pierced my hands and my feet. And so here's the great blessing of the comfort that David had. David spoke in verse 8 of the hand of his enemy. He spoke in verse 15 of the hands of mine enemies. He said, verse 13, they devise to take away my life. They have their plans, their purposes, what they want to do to me.
But my God has the last say, the final say, the only say, because my time is not in your hands. My time is not even in my hands. My time is in his hands. And therefore, David could say in verse 5 of Psalm 31, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O God of truth. Those are the same words in closing that were uttered by Christ when he prayed on the cross, apart from the last part of it, but Luke 23, verse 46, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You see, what a blessing that is. Not only are our times in God's hand for life, but when we come to death, we say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Our lives are taken by the Lord to be with himself. There's no Christian in limbo land. There's no lost soul. The moment a believer dies, they go to be with Christ. And so we pray that this year, 2022, as our times are in God's hand, may God appoint that year to be a year of his right hand, a year of blessing. But it is, if it is God's will for that to be a time that the Lord will call us home, note that our times are in his hand and he doeth all things well. Child of God, here is our confidence for this new year. But for you, unsaved one, you have no confidence because your confidence is in sinking sand. And in the day of testing, you will have a fail. You will have no refuge for your soul. And therefore, you must abandon pride. You must abandon false religion. You must abandon every hope. You must stop with this thought that your times are in your own hands and you will decide things in that. You must come and realize it's only the very fact that you're here is by the mercy and grace of God. And the Lord has spared you another opportunity to hear of his wonderful salvation. The Lord's given you another opportunity to hear about redemption in him. Don't waste any more opportunities. Don't waste any more times. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come to him this day and he will save you for his name's sake. Amen.